To all the ladies and gents out there who love and support us, who said we'd most definitely make it to episode 80, well, we did it, baby. Woo!
Welcome to Good Vibes with Chris, Dean, Troy, and Jorge.
The Valentine's Day special starts now.
What the fuck do they say if they don't mean a thing?
That's right.
On this week's episode, we have...
Fuck yeah, Valentine's Day, yeah!
Oh, yeah. Love. Passion. Vibes.
Can we do rom-coms real quick?
Nope. Yeah, let's do rom-coms real quick.
All right,
real
rom-coms. Quick. Okay. Yep. You gotta go.
Alrighty, here we go.
We got 5 minutes, brother.
Alright, the order is going to be myself, Dean, Troy, and Chris, and we are talking our favorite 3 rom-coms of all MF'ing time. Are you MF'ing ready?
MF'ing ready, baby!
Okay, here we go. So, I'm going to go with my favorite rom-com of all time. It features McDreamy or McSteamy. Or
oh, no!
It's Can't Buy Me Love.
Oh, super like, God dang it already.
Yeah, come on, man. That's like
the... Right out the gate. Ugh.
Wow.
Yes, that movie's amazing. I love it. So good.
I mean, just has everything, you know, the heartache, just great acting. I mean, he was such a great actor. I mean, the dude just... It didn't even look like he was trying a lot of times whenever he was acting.
Yeah, he kind of definitely felt like he was that dorky kid that just wanted to be popular.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, how many people could relate to that dorky kid? I mean, like, didn't you secretly want to be with all the...
Would you buy your way in if you were him? Would you do it?
I mean, hell yeah. I mean, to party with the rock, like a rock star, yeah. Of course.
Right on. Good flick.
I think at some point I even tried to, you know, sell my soul to the devil just to hang out with the cool kids.
For sure.
It didn't work.
Gotta be yourself. Gotta be true to yourself.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dean, you're up next.
This is one I've talked about many times. Super underrated. Not a lot of people have heard of it, but it's a great romantic comedy starring Elizabeth Banks and Paul Rudd and Michelle Williams and Peter Dinklage. It's called The Baxter.
Ooh, a good one.
2005.
We got to figure out how to play that game at the end and play it on the show one day.
It's impossible. The best drinking game of all time.
Troy, your favorite rom-com?
Well, it's one of my favorites, but I am going with Knocked Up.
Ooh, yeah. Knocked Up. I love that. Sort of a rom-com / coming of age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to murder y'all with my
little episode. Arrested Development, if you will.
Yeah, you know, that is a really good rom-com, you know.
Yes, sir.
It kind of changed the landscape. Changed the landscape, yeah. Who's Seth Rogen?
All right. Okay. I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to bring it back to where with my wheelhouse. This is why I have the idealistic brain that I have, is these movies and John Hughes. And Dean loves to point that out. And this is because of these movies. And this is one of my favorite ones. I've talked about it on the show before as well. It's called Some Kind of Wonderful. Wow. And it has Eric Stoltz.
Yeah.
It's got Mary Stuart Masterson and Leah Thompson.
I like that movie.
You don't? Or you do? No. It's basically sort of the same movie as Can't Buy Me Love.
And it has Eric Stoltz in it. I should love this movie, but I don't like it.
Dean, does that sound like a diss?
Is it a diss?
I'm not dissing it.
I'm dissing it.
I'll never diss anything starring Eric Stoltz.
Troy is dissing it.
Something about the best friend, like she's like, I love that whole, like she's helping him try to like figure out how to get the girl, and then like he realizes she's the one all along.
You know what? Yes, I think I do know. Oh, where like at the very end she's walking away.
Yeah, and he goes and gives her the earrings that he just gave to the other girl. Yeah, and she takes She's laughing. She's so cute. She's like, I really actually wanted these.
Oh man, okay. All right. Oh man, I'm gonna murder you guys. Here we go. I'm gonna murder y'all. Here we go.
Just One of the Guys.
You talk about that show. Yes, you talk about that show so much.
What?
You've talked about that movie so much.
I don't think so. Has he?
Yes, he has.
He brought it up a couple times.
I love that movie too.
Karate the Kid.
That was Kid. She had, I will say, you know, without respectfully, she had a great rack. And
yeah,
that moment in the movie was like, you don't get to see boobies in movies often, especially at that age. And that was like, yeah, I love that. That's very,
that was a great rom-com.
I love that. Yeah. If I had a super like, I'd give it to you, buddy.
Oh my. Okay. Wait a minute. Okay. So who,
but I don't have a diss. So Dean dissed it.
Oh my God. Y'all so. Y'all, what?
Okay. I mean, it was, my boy Johnny.
Are those rom-coms? I guess it, I mean, it is a rom-com. That is,
right? That's a romantic comedy.
It's a romantic comedy.
My boy Johnny's in it as the bully. Yeah.
It's just not good.
So he's working. He's like, don't worry, she has tits.
We're talking about the greatest rom-coms, the top three. This is not one of them.
No, it's not.
Oh my gosh. Okay, this was like on USA.
That's a good point. That's a way. That's a really good way to recalibrate, because that's like, I feel a lot of times we don't maybe do that. We do our
I mean, favorites. It is your favorite. It is your favorite.
Yeah.
But
yeah, dude.
You gotta have some taste.
Okay,
Dean,
whatever.
It's your turn.
I suck this season. All right, go ahead.
All right. So there's nothing I love more than Michael Showalter trying to do rom-coms. So this next one is The Same Guys from the State, directed by David Wayne, written by Michael Showalter, starring Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler. It's called They Came Together.
Ugh.
And it turns the romantic comedy tropes and says, shove it up your ass.
Yeah, this. It's, I mean,
it accurately identifies everything that's wrong with romantic comedies.
Yeah. It's weird though, because like,
lets you know that it's something you've watched over and over and over.
But it doesn't go. I don't know. I feel like it doesn't go to. It doesn't go. It's not a spoof film necessarily.
No,
because they play it straight. They play it straight.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It's good though. Yeah, I guess. But I already just did. So yeah,
nothing makes me laugh.
No, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not going to diss it. You're right. I do like that movie. I'm sorry. I didn't full on diss it yet. Please.
Listen to this cast. Paul Rudd, Amy Poehler, Bill Hader, Colby Smulders, Ellie Kemper, Jason Mantzoukas, Michael Ian Black, Randall Park, Christopher Maloney.
It is cute.
Ed Helms, David Wayne, Jack McBrayer, Kenan Thompson, Ken Marino.
Whoa. So many.
It's a great movie.
Alrighty.
Okay. Alrighty. All right. Troy, you're up next.
Troy, you're up.
Mine is going to be, I don't know how people will take it, but mine is definitely Maybe with Ryan Reynolds.
Definitely Maybe.
Yeah, look it up, Dean. Your thing.
The 2008 film movie starring Abigail Breslin, Isla Fisher, Rachel Weisz, Elizabeth Banks, who's been in both of my two picks.
Wow.
As has Paul Rudd. Definitely Maybe. I'm trying to get a synopsis here.
It's about a guy telling the story to his kid about the story of how he met his mother.
Because she's dead.
She's telling the story.
They're in the middle of getting a divorce.
Right, and he's telling the story. He's not telling her which girl is her mother. He's telling the story just, you know, about his relationship with this girl and then his relationship with this girl. And it's one of the most beautiful stories that I've ever seen, other than my first pick.
Yeah, he gives three stories. I remember this movie. He gives three encounters with women.
Yeah, three
and she has to pick which one he thinks is her mother.
Gross.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, whose turn is it?
Oh,
is it my turn or your turn?
No. Chris. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going back to the wheelhouse, baby, and I'm going with Pretty in Pink. Moves. Pretty in Pink. It is.
Is already this?
This is the quintessential 80s movie. You got Molly Ringwald's in it, obviously. You have the Pete Davidson of the 80s, John Cryer, playing Ducky. So yeah, it's great. Andrew McCarthy, everything you want. You got the bad guy who is played by James Spader. It's everything. Love it. Great soundtrack.
It has a great soundtrack. I don't think it's in the bottom half of my favorite John Hughes movies, though.
Wow. Bottom half.
Yeah, it's not my favorite.
Pretty in Pink. 16 Candles is far better.
I like 16 Candles. Yeah,
16 too. Candles is
it's a good one. It's a good one. It's a good one.
And it's basically the same cast.
Kind of. Without John Cryer. All right, Jorge.
It's got Michael C. Hall in it, though.
Would yes. Hitch, is Hitch a rom-com?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hitch is my favorite rom-com.
All right, Hitch. We got
better pick.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, Will better Smith, pick.
Will Smith and Kevin James.
And Evan Longoria.
Yeah.
Kevin James.
It's a great, beautiful story. Love all the scenes. It's in New York. Has a great.
Great backdrop.
Dude, it's an awesome movie. Like, that's badass.
That is a formulaic rom-com with a great cast, and it crushes it.
They don't do enough romantic comedies about Wisconsin.
This is true. I think the only one I remember that comes
Green
to
Bay
mind
in the Winter.
Is Yes Man. That was Nebraska. That was Nebraska, I guess.
Alrighty, Dino, you are up.
All right, my other rom-com is...
This is the last choice,
Last one.
Mm-hmm. Right now, and just to let you know, Chris and myself are... Nobody's super liked anybody, FYI. Yeah,
he said, fuck everybody's choices.
Okay, yeah. Dean, you're up next.
Mine is I Love You, Philip Morris.
Oh, my God. That's a funny fucking movie.
Dare you.
Go ahead.
I dare you to diss that.
No, that's a great movie. I thoroughly enjoyed that movie.
I haven't seen it. I know a little bit about it, but I haven't seen it.
You know what? I'll damn it.
And it's based on a true story.
Don't do it.
All right. It doesn't come to mind as a rom-com, so you're right. It is a great movie, though.
Then maybe on the technicality, diss it then.
You know, no.
Is it funny?
Yes. No, yeah, it's funny. It's a
romance. Is it about a romance?
Yes, that's true.
Chris, well, you have
he's
to see
gonna
it.
Say that, it's my turn, and I choose Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman, yes, that's a great one.
Classic.
That is one of the top
rom-com.
It is, but I don't like the message behind it though, necessarily, that you could just buy someone's time and then like basically try to own them and then like turn it around and be like, oh, by the way, I love you for real. No, fuck that. I'm gonna diss that.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I'm dissing Pretty Woman. So
wow.
All right. Well, now we're back to
I love sex workers and I support you guys.
So,
a couple of you anyway.
You fell into that so fast.
Hey, what were you just kidding? What were your? This was the third choice. What was your first choice?
Jorge's first choice?
Yeah, my first choice was "Can't Buy Me Love."
Yeah, great.
Oh yeah,
you got super liked. I think you're winning.
Yeah.
No. Wait a minute, Chris. Did you super like it?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, two. Oh, two super likes.
Oh, that's right. Okay, and who else? Who else super liked it?
That's it. Come
nobody.
Back.
Well, you got two. Said I got two.
Yeah, I did, and Dean did.
Oh, okay, perfect. Then all right, cool. Okay. Got it. Okay,
then so yes, I am winning. Right?
All right.
No, I have one diss.
No, I dissed your...
one of the guys?
No, I dissed the...
No, Troy, you couldn't do it because you...
I dissed that one.
Some Kind of Wonderful. Okay, cool.
Yep. All right, and my last one is 50 First Dates.
Oh, it's a good one.
It's like, I want to just, like, if I could do all Adam Sandler rom-coms, I would throw them all in there. But
my honorable mention is Punch Drunk Love.
Oh, I super nice. Like that good one.
Okay, so then that means that Chris and I are tied. So then that means that
you gotta go though. Did you go? Aren't you last?
No. Yeah, no, I was first.
Oh, you were first.
You're last. All
right. I was last. Okay.
So in the spirit of new rules, because there is now a tie, because. For a Dean, for myself, Dean, you will get to be the tiebreaker. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Dean and Troy, Say heads or tails?
Heads.
Answer is heads. So you will now be the judge of
sudden death.
Your next pick.
Yeah, very next.
What's your honorable mention? Or should it be, I get to pick what's the worst one out of y'all's two worst? You choose your worst rom-com, and I choose which one I agree is worse.
Ooh. So wait, how did I lose? I lost the toss?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I lost the fake toss.
You didn't lose anything. You just lost the ability to be the judge.
Wait a minute. We have to pick the worst rom-com of all time?
No, I'm just throwing out ideas. Yeah, let's go. Okay. Just go give me your honorable mention.
Okay, honorable mention.
Honorable mention. All right. Because I'm first, or because I was first up. Okay, I'm going to go with
Cater to Me. Cater to Me. You heard my picks.
Well, I just don't know. I mean, I don't know if this is a rom com. Is Weekend at Bernie's a rom com?
No. Okay. The buddy film.
Yeah, it's a buddy film.
Okay. Fine. I'm going to go Friends with Benefits, Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis.
All right.
That's actually very terrible.
All right.
I probably would have gone with No Strings Attached.
Yeah, that's the one I would have gone with.
Okay. Well, all right. Chris, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to go.
Cater to me. Read my mind.
All right, I am going to go with I'm gonna go with Bridesmaids.
Is that a buddy film too?
Okay. My bad. Okay.
Because there's a wedding and it doesn't make it a rom com.
I mean, okay, you're right. All right. I'm gonna go with 40-Year-Old Virgin.
What was yours, Jorge, again?
Yeah, that's
No Strings Attached. Yeah, 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Okay.
Damn. And I'm on the board.
40-Year-Old Virgin.
Okay.
Valentine's Day edition, baby. Don't fuck with me on holidays. I get all the holiday wins, y'all.
You do. And even though I thought some of your choices were weak.
They were weak, but I came back strong. I hit the highlights. That's what matters.
If anyone would have said Undertaking Betty in that final, I would have picked them.
I don't even know what the hell that is.
All right, guys, I got to jump off, but y'all have a good rest of the show.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day. Enjoy your week. Enjoy each other. Love everybody. ELE.
Oh, no, that's not the movie I thought it was.
ELE, everybody love everybody.
Goodbye.
Do you guys do anything? I don't want to give away plans, you know, whatevs. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you guys, it's a weird one this year, right? It's on Monday.
Yeah.
So do you do something before? You do the weekend before? You do something after? Do you celebrate? Do you not celebrate? Some people don't. Some people believe it's a Hallmark holiday. We're talking about, this is episode 79. We're talking about Valentine's Day. We're celebrating it. Some people do. Some people don't. We're talking about it. We're chopping it up. Troy, where are you? What camp are you in?
We don't really do nothing for it. You know, we spend our money on our kids. We buy our kids the Valentine's for school and shit like that. Maybe buy a little candy, but...
Yeah, a little candy.
I mean, it's just the Hallmark bullshit-ass fucking... Like, I don't need a day to tell my people I love them, you know?
Yeah.
I tell them every day.
Every day.
You know? I don't need one day to give them candy. If they want candy, I'll give them candy.
Canned. Yeah, I don't know. I'm an idiot.
And
I like, you know, obviously, like I just said, like I crush on holidays when it comes to Three of a Kind. It's the same thing. Like, I like an opportunity and to celebrate something. You know what I mean? I do enjoy that. So
I suggest, if you're not into Valentine's Day traditions, the older than Valentine's Day tradition of Lupercalia, celebrated on the 15th. That's where everyone in the village or city, the nobles, put on fancy clothes and put on a mask and then swap partners.
And the whole purpose of it is to, for people that are having problems trying to conceive a child with their full-time mate, they get a whole new partner for the night.
Oh,
they try
nice.
And get them pregnant. And the wearing of the mask keeps the actual father from being able to claim the child. And this is how they kept
things spicy.
No, not spicy, but they kept the gene pool going, and it was totally about just getting pregnant.
What is this called now?
Lupercalia, which was
Lupercalia.
Yeah, celebrated on the 15th.
Not to be confused with what's the one where the king gets to sleep with your wife?
That is divine right or.
Yes, Noctra Noble.
There's a communal sacrifice and a great feast, and then you.
I think that's like a key party.
It's to keep the
key party of yesteryear.
Keep the populace flourishing, and they would get real drunk, and they would all wear masks and big robes, and then you partner up, and it was basically just to ensure that. There was a next generation of people.
I like that. I mean, that's interesting.
Lupercalia.
So, yeah, I mean.
So that's what we'll be celebrating.
I'll be working.
This year.
Nice.
No.
Let me know. Let me know the details.
Are you working the Super Bowl?
I got a wicked ass mask that I like to wear out sometimes.
I guess, like, the last 2 years we've done. Dinner at home.
That's nice.
Just because I usually cook, I think, steaks or something.
Yeah, that's nice.
I mean, we haven't gone out in the last 2 years.
The Salinas Bros on the last year, they're back with the new season this year. But last year we talked about it because we had a Valentine's Day episode. You can do like, you can get a steak and you can cut it in a certain way where it looks like a heart, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that. Nice little fillet.
Little fillet trick you can do.
Do you have to work on the Super Bowl, Chris?
Yes, sir. I am working Sunday night.
I am too. Yeah. I'm hoping it's on the radio. It was on the radio last year.
I'm sure it will be, yeah. Find out the radio broadcast. Yeah, at least that's the thing. At least I get to watch it on the big screen while I'm working.
What is that, on CBS this year?
Yes. I don't know, actually. I really don't. I'm excited though. I mean, I guess the outcome will be already. This we're taping this, full disclosure. We have because, like I just said, I'm working on Monday. We're taping this a week early, so the Super Bowl will already be won by the time this comes out. It's gonna be coming out on Valentine's Day week. We do have some fun stuff.
Well, I
want to
just
though.
Tell you that I won the coin toss. I was right about that. Yes. I was also right about who won the game.
It's true.
And I was also right about who was going to be the first touchdown scored.
Yeah.
Who was going to be the first person sacked.
The prop.
Now, stop. Edit. I was wrong about the coin toss. I was wrong about
the Gatorade.
Who won the game. Was wrong about the color of the
Where
Gatorade.
Were these questions?
I was wrong.
These prop bets, man. You can find them on our social media.
I was wrong about who won this, who scored the first touchdown. And I was wrong about... So you can edit that together.
All of that.
Yeah.
No worries. You'll be right no matter what. Or wrong. See, I did it to myself, too. But yeah, we had a lot of cool things planned for this week. We did Jorge will be joining us for Three of a Kind, but we still bring you all the hits. One of my favorite things that we've been doing this season, and we, I guess, is the start of. Well, I guess you didn't tell me the genre. What's the genre? You just told us the movie. What is the genre? The criteria. Criteria that we have to. Pick from when it comes to the movie of the week.
Movie of the week is picked based on two things. When it comes to your pick, it has to be older than 1995, mm-hmm. and it has to be on Netflix.
Okay, that was that, but we already went through one time with that. So this time,
right. So we just did reverse snake pick. So we spun the wheel to see who went first. We spun the wheel to see who went second. We spun the wheel. Troy went third.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I got to pick because I hadn't gone yet. And then we're just going to do reverse order.
So I get to pick next.
Yes.
Yes. But what are the criteria category?
Yeah. What's the criteria? I got to go change look. It.
For this round?
Yeah. Is it sci-fi? Actually,
no.
No.
There's no criteria on what you pick. It just has to be on Netflix.
Okay.
Preferably, I would like you to pick a movie that you think deserves discussion.
Okay.
Amongst us.
Yeah.
Like maybe a revisit of a favorite, which is I think what we've done so far.
Yeah. Or something maybe that you
or something that knew. You've not seen or think that maybe somebody else hasn't seen.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Yeah.
Like, because Troy, you know, we talked about 80s movies. I don't particularly think 80s is
a good great year.
Time.
Yeah.
A great decade of movies.
Yeah.
So, or even older.
It's kind of like that debate we got into on Hurry Up and Wait. Like, you know, what is the best decade of music? You can have that same argument for movies. And so you don't think the 80s are that spectacular. So we're kind of diving into that a little bit.
I think there's great movies out of the 80s, but.
As like, a whole,
you know, I'm not going to the 80s section to find a movie to watch.
Yeah, right, right. A lot of things, like especially
I feel like I feel like I missed a bunch of movies in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I don't, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
you're not missing
it. I just don't have an appreciation for.
Yeah.
I mean, there's things, even in Terminator, that bothered me. You know, even the 1990 early 90s, but the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie was 90s.
I just love it because the look is darker. Like it's everything's in the 80s. Everything was darker, like not necessarily in content, but it was kind of skewing a little bit darker. But the look of things were grittier, darker. Late 70s into the 80s. Once you get into the late 80s, things start becoming more glossy and more colorful and brighter. I don't know. I do like that era. So it's gonna be cool to kind of dive into that. But the movie that you picked this week is
Blade Runner.
The movie of the week. On the movie of the week,
Blade Runner,
and it's in. Can we kind of talk about the difference between the cuts?
Sure. So the one we watched was the final cut.
Yes.
Let me pull it up real quick. There's a lot of debate about this. There's a whole Wikipedia page just for the different types of cuts. You've got US theatrical release. There's even a San Diego sneak preview version. There's a prototype, work print prototype. There's the international theatrical release.
Yeah.
There's the US broadcast version.
Mm-hmm.
There's the director's cut, which is the one I'm most familiar with. Came out in 1992. Ridley Scott approved director's cut.
Okay. And I think a lot of the differences come in the end, right? Like in how the end goes.
Yeah. So there's the final cut is the one we watched. It came out in 2007.
This is the one that I like the best, I think. I think the final
the cut. Final cut?
Yeah.
I you think like so. The best?
I do because it has. It's I think what, you know, obviously they had the technology to make it how is it intended to be made. And even though they were really close in the original, but also I think the ending is better. I think it needs to be less. Let us fill it in, you know, a little bit and more vague. I think the more vague, the better. I think when they try to tie a little bow on it, make it a happy ending, I think that's where you get lost.
Yeah. There's a lot of, so the director's cut, the 1992 one has a lot of the voiceovers taken out.
Yes. Dude, that's something I don't like. Do you like? Because I like. I think it makes it more for film noir, right? When you have the voice. I mean,
the final cut has the whole thing in it.
Yeah.
And then there was the removal of the happy ending.
Yeah. And that's where I think that's what confused Troy, because he said that that part kind of confused him a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we talking about it now?
Yeah, we're talking. Yeah, we're getting into it. Yeah.
I I'm not a big fan. I know Dean is probably going to rip me, and that's cool. But I'm not a big fan of this movie. I love this movie. It's okay. I
love detective stories though, and like film noir shit. It's like right up my alley. It's what I'm into.
Yeah, it's not my
thing. Here's my prediction of what exactly you guys would say. Chris would like it. Troy would hate it. And Jorge, I'm not even sure if you've ever seen it, and I'm pretty sure he didn't watch it this week. Yeah. So
yeah, I don't think he did.
And I don't think he's ever seen it. Yeah. So that was my exact prediction, and that's exactly.
But to me, we talk about hard sci-fi. This is not hard sci-fi to me. This is very palatable. Uh-huh. It's cool. It's cool to watch. It's fun. It is a little slow. There's some slow moments to it, but there's some really cool shit that goes on in this. It's almost as you know, his later work, because he did he didn't do Fifth Element, but it reminds me of Fifth Element.
Yeah. I think Fifth Element on a visual side is better, is like a better version of this.
It's like the brighter, like that's what I was saying. This is more gritty 80s style.
Yeah.
That's and more bright and glossy.
It rains the entire movie.
Yes.
And it's in LA, which is hilarious.
Yes.
Because that's, and there's huge sky rises. This,
it's kind of like the Matrix thing where they blacked out the sun, kind of sort of, where it's just like
pollution. Well, because you can't see it.
Pollution has fucked the sun up, and so it's just constantly
raining. Well, also the buildings are so tall, and it's raining.
Yeah,
you can't. There's no sun.
Yeah.
Plus, most of it happens at night.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that to discuss. That's been discussed and. Over the last 30 years.
That's the cool thing. That's the funny thing about it to me is it's got all this stuff, but really, really
there's not a lot. The storyline is thin.
It's like
but this is the thing. Cool also with the sci-fi in the 80s, Star Wars came out, right?
Yeah.
Star Wars broken down the first 4, 5, and 6 is this little bitty soap opera of a story. Not soap opera, but like a space opera.
Yeah, space opera. Yeah,
it's just one family.
Sure.
All the cool stuff about Star Wars and those things is on the outskirts.
Yeah,
it's like in stuff the world building that everyone bought into. Like you got your set directors, your all these things. And it's the same with this one. Like the Mandalorian is so good because it's taking something that was on the fringe of the idea of the story within that thing and then expanding on it. I think that's what the Fifth Element is better to me than this, because it's taking something like, oh yeah, they have flying cars and well, who's the cab driver that's driving these people around?
Yeah.
I mean, and then it just takes off into like a whole nother, like let's tell a better story within that world, because the best parts of that are on the fringes. Like Boba Fett is on screen for 4 minutes and 2 movies.
Yeah.
Now,
I love Edward James Olmos, man. His character.
Yes. Okay. So that's what I was saying. This is the best Edward James Olmos has ever looked in a movie. I'm a huge fan of him, but not from the 80s stuff. I'm a huge fan of him from Battlestar Galactica.
Mm-hmm.
But I love his character in this because he is a corrupt cop. They never go on. They never get into the corruption part of it.
It's all subtext, this movie.
His costuming and his attitude is the corrupt part of it. He looks like a pimp.
Yeah.
He has the cane. He has the genetically modified enhanced blue eyes.
Yeah.
He has the shiny clothes. He has all the spare time to learn how to do origami.
Yes,
he's not actually doing any like work.
And he's always like, what's the thing? I guess people say he's so suspicious, you know, he's walking around so suspicious all the goddamn time. And then he like is eyeballing him and just like fucking with him the whole time. And then he just gives him a little fucking origami thing and just walks away.
Yeah.
He just comes in and out of scenes like that.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to watch a movie about him.
Yeah.
Like Training Day with in 2021 with Edward James Olmos as, you know.
Yeah. And I think that now we're past it as a society now, because I guess it's a thing. I think we're finally over the whole fascination with like humans having sex with robots. Are we? I think we're over it now, right? Now that it's a thing.
I don't know if we're over it, but people do it.
People do it now. So it's like, okay, now like we don't have to put it in all the fucking future movies. You know what I mean? Like that, I feel like that's a lot of what this movie is about, is like, is that. And then just like the rights of, I guess it's just like the exploitation of robots, I guess is a big part of the movie.
I mean,
slaves, you know, they're fighting. They have the time is running out on their lives and they're fucking fighting for their lives. So are they villains? Are they not villains? I don't know.
I mean, they're not allowed on the planet because they're unpredictable. Yeah. They're not allowed to live over 4 years because they become sentient.
Yeah.
You know, the last Picard series deals with a lot of the same, you know, subtext of artificial intelligence.
That one dude, better, this is his best performance also, dude. Rutger Hauer, probably his best performance ever.
Dude, he's pretty intense, huh?
Yeah, so good. I love all the monologues that they wrote for him in this. They're so amazing. The one about
Shakespearean.
Yeah, like the one about the rain, obviously, is like, it's just the best.
Poems and poetry and stuff. Yeah, like
Tears in the Rain.
He's more connected to hit the emotional state than everyone else, but he's the robot.
The guy that used to be on the Bob Newhart show, like his weird fucking character.
JK, I think, or JR.
I think in the new version, I think they took that character and the businessman and they combined them. And that's what Jared Leto was supposed to be. In the new one, I think they just combined those two characters, maybe. I don't know.
The first time I watched this, I was for sure that Tyrell was going to turn out to be an android, like the guy that's the leader of the corporation that makes these things.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way he's not.
Yeah,
right.
Well, that's the thing. They want you to look at this hand when it's this hand that is the one, you know. That's
and the big fan theory is also that Deckard, Harrison Ford's character, is an android.
Yes, and they still, and that's the funny thing is the second
they still version, argue about it and they fight about it.
It's the second move, but in the second movie, it's the same fucking conversation. Is he or isn't he?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And they do it again with the other character with
everybody's
Ryan Gosling
making the movie. The people making the movie didn't even know.
Yeah.
They can't even agree.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford says yeah, or he says no. And the director says, yeah. Ridley Scott's like, no, he's not. And Harrison Ford's like, yeah, he is. Yeah. Obviously.
Right.
He wouldn't kid, you know. How do they have a baby?
That's the whole thing. You don't remember? Like she was that was his daughter that was creating all the stuff that they had in that room, and you gotta go get. That was, they had a baby together, and that was the whole thing. They were the first to do it. But it's like, okay, there's two. Or that's the whole thing. That's, I guess, if you believe he was a machine.
Yeah, I like this movie a lot.
Yeah,
good. But play. More for what it brought forward.
What it reminds me, though, and I'm kind of sad. As
sci-fi movies come.
I'm so sad that Anthony Bourdain didn't get to fulfill that dream he had, that he was kind of working towards, which was creating a market like that of the one in that movie Blade Runner. That was his inspiration. He bought the land for it and was starting to make the plans for it, but obviously he didn't make it. But he was going to be like just like that food market, you know, from the movie.
Oh, with the
like all the stalls. All the different stalls and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was going to be dope.
I also enjoyed him arguing every time he ordered food about what kind of protein he was going to get.
Yeah.
So he was like, I want the number 2. No, I want the number 4, not the 2. And then they're like trying to give him dog.
Yeah.
And that was funny.
And the weird, the snake, the lady, the dancer lady.
So that is a huge deal in the book. like the artificial animals. It's okay. Like a status symbol because yeah. there's not animals anymore. So the book that it's based on is written by Philip K. Dick.
Yeah.
And he, and the name of the book is called Android's Dream of a Leaker of Electric Sheep.
Electric Sheep.
Because it was like, you know, you count sheep to go to sleep. So yeah. What do robots do to go to sleep? Well, they must dream of electric sleep sheep.
Yeah.
But getting artificial animals was just like a status symbol of doing well. And one of the characters in the book is jealous of his neighbor who gets automaton sheep or whatever. Anyway, there's a lot of like more of this on Amazon. If you go into Prime, there's a whole anthology, like series of shows that
work.
About androids and Philip K. Dick's writing about androids and this kind of world.
Gotcha.
And they're very good. Steve Buscemi's in one of them, I think. I watched all of them. I just can't remember. But it's an anthology, so it's short films, basically. Kind of based in dealing with...
Why is he so good at sci-fi?
Philip K. Dick?
No, Ridley Scott.
I don't know. But it's like a certain type. Like,
because it's not all he does. He does other shit.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's done tons of stuff. He does medieval comedy, The Last Duel.
He's on television.
Right? The Last Duel? He made the greatest commercial. Duel? He's also the director of two of the greatest commercials of this decade. The 80s. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
He did groundbreaking stuff. Let me see if I can find it.
Troy's eating some Oreos, it looks like. What is Troy eating? You know, one thing that a couple weeks back when I went to the camping trip, one thing we did, have you ever had, okay, I know everybody does fucks with s'mores. You do s'mores, right? You guys fuck with s'mores? Y'all make s'mores?
I don't like marshmallows.
Don't like marshmallows, okay.
I love marshmallow.
S'mores are amazing, right? S'mores with white chocolate, bro.
Okay.
Oh my god.
It was good.
So good. Ugh. Amazing. Love it.
All right. So do I get to
Let's hear about why you don't like it.
Oh. Well, I mean, just don't like it. It's not interesting.
Boring?
To me.
It's boring to you?
Yeah, I thought I was gonna get to go ahead and tell what I want to watch next week.
Oh, is it your turn?
Yeah, it's my turn.
Oh, okay.
Because here's my problem. I have four. Well, so I'm going to let you two decide.
Can we do that? Is that cool?
Yeah, why not?
You're going to get to pick again. Yeah, so just pick the first one.
Yeah.
We'll watch the other three at some point.
All right, let me at least do two. Holy Grail. Or Caddyshack.
The movie of the week.
I picked Caddyshack because I've watched Holy Grail.
Yeah, like, me too.
The last 12 months.
Caddyshack. I'd rather watch Caddyshack.
I pick Caddyshack then. I pick Caddyshack.
Funzanoon.
Why is that a Funzanoon?
That's Caddyshack too. That's part of it. He's like, you know what a Funzanoon is? Someone who farts in the bathtub and bites at the noodles.
We're watching Caddyshack next week and Blade Runner. Let's do the ratings for that.
Oh, yeah, yes, please.
8.1 out of 10 on IMDb.
Fuck.
It's got a, which is super high.
That's so IMDb. Fucking high, dude.
I don't know. IMDb seems like the hardest thing to get high rating on. Most everything is like, all the best movies that I think are the best movies usually have like a 7. Rotten Tomatoes has 89% and Google users 88% liked it.
Wow. So it's like almost like 90. It's like an A, not an A+, but an A. You always
a
rate
plus.
It.
A+, 8.1 on IMDb would be like A+, I think.
Okay.
It's like a very hard reading system.
You've been reading
I'd say it's an 8.5 for me.
I think an 8.5 for you. Troy, what about you? You've been going on 1 through 5, right?
I go 1 to 5.
What's your rating?
Well, I mean, to 10, I give it a 4.7. To 5, I give it a 2.8.
Okay. I will go on a 10 grade, a 10, or I'll do 4 barbacoa tacos. 4 barbacoa tacos. Use Jorge's rating system. I think it's really good. I think it's about perfect. I think it's up there, man. I think it's in the top 10 of movies from all time, even. It's one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time, for sure. And I love Harrison Ford, too. I like understated stuff. Give me an understated movie, I'm all about it. Road to Perdition, people can't stand that movie because it's so slow. I'll watch that shit all day long.
One of my favorite Tom Hanks movies, actually.
Good one. Very good one. Did you see his newest work?
Yeah, the one on Apple?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
It was good, right? Oh, you talked about that. It's about, yeah, that's right.
It was Castaway on a...
Yeah.
They just took all the people off the main continent.
Yeah.
Instead of the island.
What about... Okay,
it was good.
Have you caught up on... let's get into a little TV sucks. You caught up on Peacemaker.
This is
I didn't get to see the latest episode, but I've seen pretty much everything. So I haven't seen Righteous Gemstones or that.
I turned my work computer off and went and watched Gemstones right after work today, so I'd be all caught up.
Nice.
So it's dropped for me. Not in being a good show, but these last, I like the flashback episode.
Yes.
The episode after that is real weak for me.
Is it still in the flashback, it looks like?
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Maybe I saw like
it's dealing with the fallout.
Because I saw Baby Bobby singing a song that he didn't sing the episode before. Talking about
he's not like, really in this episode.
Okay, so then maybe it was a cut scene or something, but he's talking. One of the
did you watch the end of the episode?
Maybe
after the credits, they play like a little snippet.
Maybe I missed that because he's talking about like you'll never like I'll keep running towards you, you'll never get rid of me type of shit. Like I'll keep coming to you to get some more help. I don't know, something like that. It's really funny.
This one has dealing with the fallout of the broken thumbs.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And
what he did to his kiddo.
Yeah. The dad broke.
Yeah.
Broke the thumbs.
Adam Devine.
So this is Adam Devine and his former Satanist helper, Heavy.
Yeah. Kiefer.
And Danny McBride's character. What he does after the assassination attempt, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah,
and there's some fallout from that because of it doesn't the reaction from that cliffhanger. Am I an episode ahead of you?
No, I saw that. Okay,
so this is the reaction from that. So okay, this episode picks up from they didn't get killed in the assassination attempt.
Yeah.
His reaction to that and his wife's response bring them into at odds, and his response to be a man is pretty damn funny.
Yeah.
And based on biblical principles.
Nice. Which is
also just ridiculous. I really want more Eric Roberts.
Yeah.
But
I do love Uncle Baby Bobby or what the fuck.
Yes, I kind of want to see Uncle Baby.
Uncle Billy, Baby Bobby.
Uncle Baby Billy and Eric Roberts in a one-on-one scene.
Oh, sometimes. Fuck yes, please.
Those guys are like on next level so good. Acting. And
yes. And I thought that the girl from Sugarland, man, that plays the mom, she did a really good job. She's fucking great.
Yeah. And I have some theories. I don't know if you want to hear them.
I'd love to hear them. Yeah.
Okay. So the assassination people, right?
Yeah.
That is not Eric Roberts.
No. I was wondering where this kid, the son, is. I haven't seen him. And he used to do some weird shit, get into some shit. Where's he been? Remember?
Yeah, it's not him either.
Fuck, okay. Fuck.
My theory is that it is all the other pastor that can't get the money for his...
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's him.
Okay.
And it gets crazier.
Okay.
At the end of this episode is another cliffhanger.
Wow.
With the red motorcycle guys. Yes. So.
You know,
but my theory is that it's that pastor from Texas, played by what's his name?
This is on HBO, right?
Eric Andre.
Eric Andre or Eric Andre's wife from Search Party. Oh my god. Yeah. Just because she's on Search Party, she's like suspect number one for me for some reason.
Well, I love, man, going back to the baptism episode, like I want more of just regular ass people interacting with him to show how crazy the fuck you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, 'cause JK's family,
his family and how they interacted with each other was so great. It was perfect. Like how she's singing the song and the sister's the only one that is hearing what the fuck she's actually saying. And it's like, what the fuck? And everybody else is just like, oh yeah, cool, cool moment. They're all zoning out in their own little worlds, just like happy to be there.
Yeah. Does anyone understand the words that are coming out of her mouth?
Yes, dude. That's so fucking funny. And then just the fact that she doesn't realize, like, she just, when people say like, oh, she doesn't have social skills, that's not what they mean. Like, but that's like a whole other thing. Like, she has no social skills, meaning like she has no fucking filter, literally no filter. And she doesn't understand, like, she just says.
And in this next episode, JK sits down with her dad and like says, I'm sorry about how the Baptists went. And then he like basically just lays it out for the dad, like, your daughter is this way and why. It's like a great scene for him. But yeah, I'm way into the show this season.
Yeah, it's
good. But this last episode was maybe the weakest.
Yeah.
Which is weird because Danny McBride had more to do in this episode than he has.
Yeah.
Other than writing the whole thing, but I creating think it's, it, but it's, you acting know, wise, you his said, character.
You sent a TikTok where there's a guy breaking down like how the similarities between WWE and secession. And I just feel like that this kind of like the same kind of power struggle dynamics as well.
Like who's getting the keys to daddy's kingdom.
Exactly. And that's what I think that is always really funny. And it sets up for really good humor. When you have people who like genuinely like love each other, but will do anything to get at to get on top or get ahead, or you know.
Yeah, but it's like they genuinely love each other up to a point, right? Because they've. I think it's interesting that they've had no struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they never had to rely on anybody but they have relying on somebody to bail them out, but not in like a, no one's making a sacrifice to help anybody else.
Yeah.
That's just a weird dynamic, you know?
Yeah, totally. You haven't seen any of this stuff, Troy boy?
No. What about Peacemaker, man?
What about Peacemaker? You've been watching Peacemaker either? What do you watch, bro? Jesus Christ, man. What are you watching? I know you're
working Greek. A lot. He watches Greek
and Ghosts and
Greek and Ghosts and Equalizer and
Ghost is very funny.
Monday Night Raw. I watched AEW.
You've been back into wrestling?
Yeah, I've been back into wrestling a little bit.
Did you watch the Royal Rumble? I know that's a couple weeks back.
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah,
was it good?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Had some surprises.
Wasn't the best ever, but it wasn't the worst either.
I wish that, and I don't know, do you think, I think the women do a much better job, the women's Royal Rumble, of bringing people back.
Oh, yeah.
Very, you know what I mean? So. But I guess it's because the people that they're bringing back haven't been out of it that long. And then in the men's matches, if you're bringing people back, you're bringing them back from a very long time ago because they don't fucking quit because they can do it forever. So they're, you know, the guys you'd want to come back are still doing it, right? Like the Goldbergs and the Edges. And the funny thing is, you know, and I know that all this is pretty boring to you, but I love the TikTok. Because it brought up the whole the power struggle. Well, here's a layer to it, and I don't know if he wanted to get to it, but there's so much shit that you have to unpack that he keeps on going on and on about other stuff because I start to follow him now. But the funny thing is like they had a secession moment in this last Royal Rumble because of a mishap in the numbers and how they were called out. Shane McMahon got called in early. His music hit early.
You have that neighbor.
And he tried to get one of his employees backstage to go out instead because he wasn't supposed to come out that early. And it was Randy Orton. And Randy Orton's like, fuck you, man. That's your music. I'm not going out to your music. You go out. And he had no choice but to go out. And so he goes out, and this is a traditional Iron Man position. At number two. And so that person tries to go and last as long as he can in the Royal Rumble. And the whole time, it's just like you have that dynamic where it's the boss's son who's playing a character, but it's also the boss's son. And so time and time again, he keeps on putting himself in these like top positions in the storylines.
Like, yeah, but they can take they're getting real meta with it. You don't know what's real and what's actually going on.
Right.
And what part is the character and what part is real. Mm-hmm.
Kayfabe is what they call it. Kayfabe. But with all the data, like the dirt sheets and everything and the internet, it's hard to kind of to land that kind of stuff and make it believable. But I just think it's hilarious because like he goes in and he keeps on, like, he's in his 60s now, like, or no, he's not in his 60s, maybe he's in his 50s, but he keeps on trying to put himself over these guys, and it makes it hard to believe. You know, I know
he was in the Rumble, Shane.
That's what I'm saying. Shane? Yeah, Shane went in at number two, right?
Was it number two?
I think it was number two.
I don't think it was number two.
Anyway, I just think it's funny that he keeps on putting himself over, you know, his own talent. I don't know. But, yeah, man, what else you guys, what is your favorite? Is HBO your favorite streaming site? Like, I'm kind of cutting back. I'm about to move.
Viable.
So getting ready to move again. So I'm like cutting back on some of that stuff. Like, what is your favorite?
I mean, HBO is the one that I find the most, like, best content on consistently. Like, at all. I mean, I can turn it on and find something to watch.
Yeah.
Movie, pretty quickly.
Show.
Usually shows. I'm not, you know, not a big movie watcher, but,
that the time, man. Right? It takes a lot of time to watch movies, right? You got 2 hours to watch a movie.
I mean, I had to split Blade Runner in two this week.
Yeah.
Just because I had to watch Silverado and that. But
Silverado was 2 hours. I was like, God damn.
Yeah, it was a long one. And Blade Runner 2. And then I also watched Miracle with my kids last night. You know, missing a little hockey. They were they wanted to watch something. I was like, well, we're watching this.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Winter Olympics, this is the movie to watch. And the whole time,
like Placid, 1980 something.
Kurt Russell, right?
Yeah. Based on a true story. So Zev was asking me, he asked me like 3 or 4 times. It's like, this really happened?
Nice.
And then the first period of the
Russian game. I see they're playing basketball.
Yeah, they are.
It's tough, man. It's tough starting out. Zev got 2
rebounds and a steal.
It's tough starting out.
I mean, the whole team.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's like the hardest thing to watch to me is that age group.
I've discovered that as far as sports go, and we're going to have to start talking about the Mavericks after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
I may throw some money at you to get the NBA package.
Oh, yeah, okay.
for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Because I could not
watch. Did you watch that Mavs game?
No, I couldn't get it. It was on ESPN. But I didn't. I don't have. It was not on ESPN Plus. I have ESPN Plus, but it wasn't on ESPN.
No, yeah, that's the bullshit about it. I have ESPN Plus too, and you can't watch regular ESPN on it.
Yeah.
So what the heck? And they took it off of Sling. They took it off a bunch of things.
Yeah, it's crap. Like I can't watch Mavs games at all because I don't have Bally Sports.
Bally Sports. The
Southwest. Yeah.
It's Bally Sports.
Well, it's Bally's now. It's
even South. Yeah, but that. So the deal with that is you can get the NBA package, but they'll still black out local games.
That's what it is. Yeah, and that's fucking pain in the ass.
And that sucks.
Yeah, you can watch it, but you have to wait until the game's over and then you can go back and watch it.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Yeah.
Usually what I've been doing is just watching the recaps.
Yeah. I mean, those dunks, on YouTube. Dude, like that game was.
That was awesome. It was
so cool.
It was awesome that they beat the Hawks without. Yeah. They beat the Hawks without Porzingis.
Yeah. Bullock's been playing like crazy.
Yeah. I listen to the Ringer's NBA shows a lot and read a lot of the Ringer articles. And
we didn't pull the trigger on a move though, right? We didn't do any trades there at the
time. I don't think, but everyone's like, why?
Yeah,
why would I mean, yeah. just
another big what man. You got. It'd be nice to get another big man in, like Siakam. But, that sounds interesting. That sounded intriguing to me. They were talking about Siakam coming in. Okay.
Well, everyone said, you know, last month everyone was talking about how Ben Simmons could contribute, and that doesn't make any sense because we kept Brunson.
Yeah, that was we the put whole
Brunson
thing.
In the starting lineup. That so the there's thing. No need to have him anymore.
No. No.
And
I think we need another like big.
I don't know, man. We're on a streak.
Yeah, we're fine.
We're doing good.
Where's Tim Hardaway? Is he hurt? Tim Hardaway Jr.?
Yeah, he's hurt.
Yeah, he got a broke foot.
Yeah, he's probably out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, he's out for the rest of the season.
That sucks.
But Porzingis is playing great whenever he's not injured.
Yeah.
We're winning games whenever
playing defense.
You know, yeah, everybody's playing better. So, I mean, the trade deadline is what, today?
Yeah,
a week ago.
Yeah, a week ago.
2 weeks ago. So who knows? I mean, there's a lot of elements that are doing good, and like everyone says, well, who would you trade? In the Mavs, what could they get? Lots of different stuff getting thrown out there, but most people just like, I don't know, man, it's working.
Yeah.
You know, unless somebody in the West does some crazy move to do something to get better, we could do all right. We're good seed right now, but and last month we were, you know, seventh.
Yeah. Yeah, man, J Kid getting it done. Who would have faked
defense
it?
Defense has improved. Who would have thought?
Who would have thunk it? Who would
just slightly it? More defense makes a huge difference,
right? Well, I mean, yeah, like that's the thing, though. That's like that's how the league's set up. Like you have to do one or the other. You know, like there's the D'Antonis of the world where they're just. Chunking up threes and that chain that the impact that he had on the game is pretty insane.
I think being able to shoot a three and play defense is all you need.
Absolutely.
They need guys that can shoot three on the outside when Luka drives in and somebody on the inside to play defense and get rebounds. I mean, I don't know. I'm real into basketball.
Yes.
My favorite sport right now.
I was big in whenever we had bubble basketball. I enjoyed last season. I haven't been as into it this season. I need to get back into it just because we had such a hard time, you know, at the beginning of the season.
I mean, also the season's very long and everything changes every other month.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it's been weird, dude. When you got people coming in from the G League on weak contracts during the last Omicron.
Yeah, right.
Outbreak January
that was
really
very
weird.
Interesting. Yeah.
One of Rowan's favorite players from Tech, Matt McClung.
Yeah.
Killing it in the G League.
Yeah, he's doing great in the G League.
He got his first triple-double. He went to the Bulls. He played for the Bulls for a week or two.
Yeah, baby.
So just interesting. So that's the one sport that I have for the last decade had no problems watching any game, even, you know, whatever.
Do you have Bally Sports or no?
No. I think that's the only thing keeping basic cable or cable companies and satellite companies in business. It's like these weird sports packages.
Yeah.
They have to get these deals need to go away.
I don't even know how much you said, Troy, you have traditional cable?
Yeah, Frontier Cable.
How much is that?
It's about $200 a month.
But you get internet and everything with it, right?
Yeah, I get internet, phone.
I got to do the math on that. I might be the same, honestly. Fuck. I know, but you know, I will get my girl. I'll give her credit for this. Like, she is so good at, like, you know, she has a network of a conglomerate of streaming sites that are shared between a group, a network of people.
Yeah. We need to do that too.
We do. I know. Why we have, like, there's no need for both of us to have the same ones, you know?
Yeah.
We should be sharing the load, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry. My bad, boys.
It's all good, my friend.
All right, so what are we on? We did sports.
Yeah.
We did movie of the week.
We did movie of the week. We did talked a little bit of TV. Can you tell me? Okay, how about this? How about this? We're a little bit further along. You know, Troy, this is going to be, it shouldn't be a spoiler alert. What the fuck am I talking about? So it is further along, though, further removed. So I can talk a little bit more about the Book of Boba Fett, because I kind of want to get into this character. I don't know a lot about him because I didn't watch Clone Wars, but he looks fucking awesome. And I cannot wait to see him.
Who knows if you'll see him?
Because I've seen him already. I've seen the scene. It's already been. It's after the fact. Scene, well, bro. I've seen him in action. No, I saw him in action.
All right. Yeah, boy, let's watch it, baby. I want to watch it.
I'm talking about, what's his name? Boner? What is his name?
Boner?
Bonakai or not Bonakai.
Bonakai.
This dude has he's got a six shooter fucking laser blaster, basically. And he's like he's like Billy the Kid, but a bad guy. And he's like this alien with like these red eyes.
The kid is a bad guy.
Yeah, I know. And he's got these like, you know, oxygen, I guess, pipes coming in. He looks dope as fuck.
Bad Bane. Yeah, you should watch the Clone Wars, man. It's the best.
Really? I don't know if I just didn't give it credit because it was animated at the time.
I would start in like season two, maybe.
Okay.
Clone Wars is good.
Yeah, but he's badass.
It's better than the Bad Batch too.
Yeah, I didn't like the Bad Batch as much.
The Bad Batch was terrible.
Yeah, I did not like the Bad Batch.
I did like. I've been watching Star Trek Visions, which is anime anthology.
I want to watch that Star Trek.
About every other one of that episode is good. Star Trek Prodigy is good too.
I want. Have you seen that?
With little boys. That's the only Star Trek they'll watch with me.
Is it very kiddish or is it?
No, I mean it's like Clone Wars.
Okay. Yeah, I want to watch Prodigy.
I have avoided talking about the new Star Treks on this show because I talk about the really nerdy sci-fi that's on other, not necessarily connected to Star Trek.
So would you say you're more Star Trek than Star Wars or more Star Wars than Star Trek? You're more Star Trek.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I'm more Star Wars than Star Trek. I mean, I like Star Trek, and I really enjoy the new Star Trek and everything like that.
Discovery. Did you watch Picard?
I watched the first season. I'm waiting on the second season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Picard is good.
Where's Crisco?
I'm right here.
He's right there.
I need to get some supplies.
He needed some chips. What kind of chips are they? Cauliflower? Healthy cauliflower chips?
Buffalo chicken flavored?
These are nacho flavored.
Ugh.
They're like Doritos.
They taste like butt?
Okay, so,
yeah, they taste like Doritos.
You said yeah.
I made something in the air fryer today.
You make?
Was it pork butt?
You know, the diced potatoes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I cracked 3 eggs on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then sprinkled cheese and then salt and pepper. And then cooked that in there till I cooked the potatoes first.
You baked that or what setting?
400.
Air fry?
Yeah. 400 because there's the potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So I let them go for like 10 minutes. Then I put the eggs on and the cheese and put that in for another 5.
Okay.
And then scraped it all into a bowl and mixed it up. And
yeah. Sounds delicious. Good. Sounds really good.
Did you have any protein in it?
Yeah, eggs and cheese.
Yeah, eggs.
Oh, okay. Is cheese a protein?
Yeah.
Is it? I didn't know that.
You get protein from milk. You get protein.
I knew eggs was.
I mean, you get fat too from cheese, but. You get protein from eggs and cheese, yeah. Dairy gives you protein. It was pretty good. And I don't think I ate dinner. Oh, diet A&W. Is that A&W Zero?
Zero, yeah.
You like it?
I do. This is the best. This and the orange Sunkist are my favorite zero sodas so far. I have the Mountain Dew I drank last episode. That was pretty good. But this is more like, this literally tastes like AMW root beer. It just tastes the same.
Yeah. I think Dr. Pepper Zero is pretty good. Pretty close.
Yeah.
Better than Diet Dr. Pepper. And then they have 3 or 4 flavors of that. Dr. Pepper Cherry, Dr. Pepper Cream Zero, Cream Soda.
Yeah. Oh, really? Where is this?
Yeah. I think Walmart.
Bullshit.
Kroger.
I don't know. The selection is limited on the zero sugar.
Cream soda's not there all the time, and the cherry's not there all the time.
Yeah, no. I do like the cherry. So Coke Zero is really good. That's the only Coke Zero that I can drink. I do like I said, the Sunkist is really delicious, and then this AMW is really good. But I'm trying to try more of them. You know, obviously, I want to drink more water. I do drink more water, but like I'm like doing little things to try to like help myself, like the zero sugar soda, right. Like cauliflower chips instead of like, you know, regular chips.
Yeah. I've got I've been doing the Dr. Pepper Zero, drinking a lot of water, and then for my first cup of coffee I'll do a little bit of creamer, and then for all the coffee after that I've been doing black, no creamer.
That's something I'm struggling with still, and I asked the internet to help me out a little bit on that.
Yeah, it's like one of the longest feeds I've seen.
Yeah, zero sugar.
Those were horrible. I tried the zero.
They're tough. They're not very good.
Creamer.
Yeah.
Yuck. It's gross.
So gross. Yeah, so gross.
And
somebody said just regular, like half and half.
Yeah.
You know,
it's better than the zero creamer.
So I might try that with some cinnamon.
I've just done like 2% milk or whole milk, even. Mm-hmm. It's better than that zero creamer.
Yeah.
Zero creamer is the worst thing you can put in your coffee.
Yeah, it's so gross. I don't like it.
Yeah, it was the worst thing.
But yeah, I mean, I need to do better about my water drinking. Are you good about that?
I'm very good about that.
How do you do that? How do you get yourself? I need to do it just for medical. Like, it helps me in so many ways. How do you get your water in?
Either I'll get a big cup, or I'll get a medium-sized cup. Medium-sized cup, I usually end up drinking more water. Just with a lid and a straw. You know, I've got my metal straw or whatever, and a reusable cup.
that's got at least 24 ounces, at least. Usually 30 is good. And then I'll just drink three or four of those. I'll drink coffee until 10.
Three or four of them, damn.
And then, yeah, I drink water all day long. I'll drink coffee until 10, switch to water, and then usually do a Coke, or not a Coke, a Dr. Pepper Zero, either at dinner or...
Yeah.
I need to stop drinking caffeine, but after like midnight, I got my genetic health markers back.
Oh, really? And, yeah, how'd that go? What are you?
I didn't get any ancestry data, though.
Really?
I guess I didn't buy the right
kit. Oh, you just did the health one.
Yeah, so I pretty much got the genetics of a elite athlete. And anything other than like late onset dementia. I have a marker for that, but just already kind of knew that just because of my old relatives. And then late macular degeneration, which I also already knew because of my great-grandmother lived so long. My grandmother's still alive.
Yeah, nice.
They both had to deal with that. But other than that, I had no like crazy stuff, except for I am genetically, I'm more likely to use a lot of caffeine and something else.
Yeah, I think the way Troy put it is you're more likely to be hung. Is that what it was? Genetically?
We have to talk about it every episode now.
Are we talking about Dean's big dick?
Not address this anymore.
This motherfucker.
I don't think.
No, no, now. Stop it. You made me blush when I was listening to that.
Hung like a goddamn horse, motherfucker. It was that cold water when he pees. Dean walks up to a pisser and guy next to him says, "Damn, this water's cold." And Dean says, "Yeah, and it's deep too."
Troy, boy. You're crazy, bro.
I'm just saying, I'll never forget that. It was one of the most craziest moments in my life. What do you guys want?
I don't even remember what you're talking about.
He's talking about one of the days you streaked, I'm sure.
No, it was...
We're going to commercial, and when we come back, we are going to, I don't know, we're going to do something. It is Valentine's Day, so barbecue!
Barbecue!
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to episode number 29 of Damn, That's Good with Big Salinas Barbecue. I'm your co-host, Rainy Salinas, joined by my brother, Junior Salinas. We got a good, fun show going on. This is going to be our Super Bowl / Valentine's Day show. So without further ado, let's get this party started.
Hey. Great episode last week. We just kind of got back in the groove of things. Going to kind of do the same again. We're going to have a great show for you. Definitely, for sure. But
let's... All right. The magic of editing. Give me a quote about love.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Quote about love.
Give me a quote about love. Do you guys, I don't know why, maybe it's just because I feel like it's a subject you've dealt with a lot. Do you guys, for whatever reason, Valentine's Day, I always think about like Shakespeare. Is that weird? Is that just strictly because it's Romeo and Juliet?
I think about chocolate.
Yeah, right? The love sonnet, that's true.
I think about chocolate hearts.
Chocolate hearts for you?
Yeah.
Roses?
Rose petals on the bed.
Ooh.
Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing, ooh, lightly playing over the overhead speakers.
Setting the mood.
Silk throw blanket on the bed.
Wow, Mr. Yeah. Hallmark Holiday.
Got the drink rose petals on the bed and on the floor. Like a little path to the bed.
So oh, wow. So romantical. So romantical.
And got a light mist of
brute
of citrus.
Brute. He said citrus. Yeah, right. Nag champa, maybe.
Citrus you and know, cloves.
Patchouli. A little patchouli.
Something to make her smell and think of sex. Sexual.
Pheromones.
Wow, this is a pickup line. This isn't even a good quote. I like it though.
Ready?
Yep.
Yep.
Thank you for stealing my eyes from the crowd and stealing my heart from me.
That was whack. Can I diss that? Diss.
Yeah. I mean, that actually, yeah. Like, can we do our best pickup lines? I mean, I guess yeah, that's
that was terrible.
That's where we're at. Yeah, you can do better. You can do better than that, Troy.
Oh,
do
yeah.
That one more time. Do that one more time, please.
Oh.
You stole my eyes from the crowd.
And my heart from me.
And my heart from me.
Basically, I can't look around at anyone but you. I have to keep my eyes on you. And you stole my heart. Right?
Yeah. I got one. Did it hurt, baby?
Yeah.
When you fell from heaven?
That's classic. Classic.
I like that. I like that you come in strong and just assume that baby is a good thing to say.
Yeah.
This is a pickup line. Like, that would be like an opener, right?
Yeah.
Your icebreaker.
Yeah. Did it hurt, baby?
My favorite pickup line I've ever witnessed was Kool-Aid and I standing in line to get drinks at a bar in Lubbock. There's a woman standing in front of us. And I don't know where, like, why, though. Like, I don't know why he does these things. He said, "Hey, bitch." And she turned around and was like, he's like, "What's up, slut? What are you doing tonight?" This is not, I mean, this guy, like,
had, are you sure he didn't know her?
No.
Okay.
She got upset, and I was like, I don't know why. I was apologizing, like, I don't know why he just said that, like, and she's like, basically, her quick comeback was to call us gay together, like, I bet you're fucking him, or something like that. I don't know. But I felt so bad, I'm just like, that was uncalled for, bro, like, why? Just why?
That's the best pickup line you ever heard?
No, that was just like the weirdest, I guess. The weirdest. It was just like shocking. Just shocking. Yeah,
that's not a pickup line.
No, just shocking. I think it was meant to be, though, I think. You know? Like, just the way he delivered. The way he delivered it. It was just like, whoa.
Hey, girl, you're under arrest because you stole my heart.
Is that the worst list? I can't.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Hey, do you want some candy?
What?
No!
That was just creepy.
You know, I think my favorite one is, you know, I'm just looking for somebody, you know, who can mold me into the man that I'm supposed to be.
No.
No.
Oh, what about this?
What you got?
I'm just the guy standing in front of a girl asking her to love him.
I like this one. Thinking of you keeps me awake. Dreaming of you keeps me asleep. Ooh. And being with you keeps me alive.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, I mean, how did you guys get your girls through pickup lines, or, you know?
I know.
It was like a slow developing kind of a thing.
My girl flirted with me first. I was kind of a puss on my because I got a number and didn't even call her for a week. Yeah, but I did have a line. There was a line that I used on our second date when I first kissed. I said, I don't know if any of you ever watched Martin, but I stole a line from Martin and I said, "Give me some of them luscious." And she laughed at me and told me I was an idiot and kissed me, and I got laid, and it was great.
That is always my way, and is through comedy.
TMI, man.
What?
He didn't go too bad. Like, he didn't get vulgar with it, at least.
I didn't, like, tell you what happened. And
You're fine. But, yeah, comedy for me is my way in. It's always, like, I'm the type I need
that
to.
That's your only chance, bro. Because I've seen you try and talk to the ladies before.
No. You talking about me?
No, I'm talking about Chris. I've seen him try to interact without being funny. Mm-hmm. And it is the worst thing I've ever seen.
No, yeah, like,
terrible.
It's not good.
I got some.
You're funny. You're good looking. You're funny and you're good looking. Trying to be smooth and good looking is cringy.
Yeah, it's always cringy, you know. But that's the thing, like, that was a long time ago. Like, you didn't, you know. This last time that I had a sexual awakening in my late age, you know, this the summer of love.
How you said that.
The summer of love.
Did you try, man?
The summer of love that commenced upon the world. You know, like, I had some game, man. Like, I was very comfortable, and I think that's something that I didn't have when I was younger. I didn't have the comfortability. But yeah, confidence. I don't think confidence is key. But yeah, I definitely, it's not about lines for me. It, like, I have to, like, I've never been the type is like short work, you know, like, let me do this quick. It's like, this is a long play for me. This is going to be built over time. This is going to be, you know what I mean? Maybe that's why I think I'm better at text messaging. Cause I can kind of do that better. You can play the long game through text message, you know what I mean? Build upon, you know, relationship, like, and start building upon that, like, having jokes and having those kinds of things. And then that way, when you meet that person finally, boom, like, you already feel like you know the person. And I kind of feel like that's how it went with me with this last time. And that's, I think, why it went so well, you know? What about you, though? Yeah. I've never really tried. This is my first time trying internet dating, and it worked out for me. It worked out for you. Like,
yeah, but I don't think that. I don't like it.
Yeah, like, right. I mean, everybody says that. I've heard a lot of horror stories. I was very lucky. I didn't do it for a very long time. But I didn't have.
Through internet dating?
Yeah, I met her through Facebook dating, is how I met her. That's when, yeah. Which is crazy.
Which I don't think was a thing.
Mm-mm. That's new. I think it's pretty new.
Yeah.
Dean, but, where'd you meet your girl? I met my girl at CC. We worked at CC together.
Met Sarah on Bumble initially. And then we went on a lot of dates. But, you know, it was like, yeah, I mean, we went
slow play, bro. That's what I'm saying.
We went to a place in Frisco. No,
Little.
I guess no, Legacy West.
Okay, yeah,
Legacy East. Just for drinks and like appetizers or whatever, and just chilled and talked. And then I walked her to her car, and that was the first date. I took an Uber because I didn't want to drive. I was nervous. And then we went on a we just spent a lot of time, you know, probably once a week for a while, sometimes twice a week we'd hang out. But I don't think I had any lines or, you know.
No, yeah, it's on the planning of the date too, I think. That's part of it.
But honestly, that was my only good dating experience from that whole time. But I know lots of times I've been completely oblivious to someone even being interested.
Yeah,
totally oblivious.
Totally
On like first impression.
Like you went on a date and you're like, oh, they didn't like me, and then like they're
not
like,
even that. Just
why,
like,
didn't you ever call me back?
I've talked to this person once, and like been like, well, gotta go, and then someone else point out to me like they were really into you, or, you know.
Yeah.
Years later, someone saying like, "Oh yeah, they were way into you," and I'd be like, "I'm totally oblivious."
Got you. Yeah,
that's happened. Quite a few times.
Not picking up on the body language.
news. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told that lots of times.
Yeah. Whoa.
And I mean, and then, like, thinking back.
All of that, all the inside bubbles and all that stuff.
Going back to thinking about it, someone being like, oh, yeah, they were into you or whatever. And then being like, oh, that can't be. And then, like, rethinking, like, oh, like that, I was completely like, someone couldn't be hit on harder.
Yeah.
Than I was like, someone couldn't, without saying straight up, mm-hmm. hey,
yeah,
I'm into you.
Yeah, right.
I want to get up on you.
Yeah.
To literally getting up on me and me not having any idea.
Right. Yeah. I was very nervous getting back in the game, and you helped me out a lot with your tips. I don't know if you remember, you gave me some tips. When I was first getting out there in the dating thing, you're like, okay, here's some things that you should get. Just, you know, it's good to have around the house if you're starting to date and stuff like that. I think just like those types of things just helped me feel a bit more comfortable about getting back out there, because I was really nervous, because it was hard and scary.
Just
and
walk up to a girl and say, show me.
It's not the same, bro. Come on, dude. You don't know, because it's been, how long did you say you were fucking married, you son of a bitch? How long are you married?
We've been married since 2007.
Okay, so you don't know. So, you don't know. You don't fucking know. Dude,
it's too late for you now, Troy.
I've been with her since 2004.
Too late for you now.
I'm saying, bro. Like, it's just way different now. Like you said, like internet dating, you know, and the whole thing, and how you meet people, especially in a pandemic and all that stuff. Like, yeah, it was way weird. Usually I always like met people through work, and that was like, you know, or met people like through friends, or, you know, those organically. So to go out and search for somebody through that way, it was just different. It was weird, but it's cool. I learned a lot. That you have to go through that process too, when you like find out, when you're trying to figure out what you want, or like, you know what I mean? Because like, you have to learn a lot about yourself through other people. And I think when you're dating, and it's been a long time, I know for both of you guys, but I think you learn a lot about yourself through that process. What you like, what you don't like.
Yeah, but I think also it's good to be upfront and honest with yourself about what you're looking for too.
Yeah, but if you don't know what that
is. But also to the person, the people you're talking to too.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's weird to be like, yeah, I just need somebody to hang out with and date. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, I'm not looking for anything else. And I think that's how me and Sarah started out too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it just naturally progressed into, you know, spending more and more time with each other, which is fine.
Right.
Which I think is probably a good idea.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
But yeah, I don't know. The whole
internet dating. Only had one bad date, and it wasn't even that bad. It wasn't like a nightmare or anything. She just was kind of a nut.
Did you have lots of cancellations?
No.
No? Uh-uh. I had several, like, it was just impossible to.
Playing something?
Or planning something. And getting all the way to the day that it was planned, and then nothing.
Ghosted.
Or, you know, not even ghosted, just like, okay, well, let's try it again. And then keeping and talking, and like, you know what? We're not into each other. Or I'm not into you.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like, you know, right off the bat, but I was just like interested in dating. And so, like, you just fit, you know. There's a few of those where it was just like, yeah, there's nothing here, but I'm just gonna have a good time and, you know, watch a movie and or go to a, you know, dark,
yeah, but then at the same time
or whatever,
you're talking to someone and you get into it, and then like, you know what, you're not someone that I would actually spend time on, so why waste time on even, you know, going to dinner? But like I said, it just depends on, you know, what you're looking to do, I think.
You know,
practice dates are good. I think.
So Valentine's
Day. Yeah. What are the date movies? Give me some date movies.
We listed them all.
Yeah, but there's so many more. There's so many more. The top three, that's just scratching the surface.
Well, you got
talking
nine
about
of them.
rom-coms. Like,
well, not all of them are rom-coms. You know, a lot of date movies are like sometimes serious ones, like Notebook.
Yeah.
You know,
the breakup.
What's the name of Notting Hill?
Notting Hill.
Yeah, Notting Hill. Notting
the breakup is Jennifer Aniston and
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another one, Along Came Polly.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Story of Us.
Story of Us. That's a sad one. But good one.
Just real, Friends.
Raw and real. Just Friends.
Just Friends.
That's funny.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, a date movie is any movie.
Yeah.
Any movie is a date movie.
So true. Good point. I mean, that's what a lot of our, we haven't gone in a while, but me and Ashley used to go to the movies all the time. I saw a lot of fucking movies this summer.
I would think.
Sorry, you and Alex go to movies all the time, right? Movie dates.
I mean, not lately, but yeah, we come to see you at your movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, for sure.
I mean, I definitely want to see the Batman.
Yeah, we'll probably the next one, huh?
Yeah. How long will I have to wait to get tickets for that?
April.
I won't have
the middle of March.
You're muted.
Yeah, as soon as it comes out, man, you can watch it.
I can. Cool. Yeah. But it seems like movies kind of took a surge there for a second. And really, the only surge is they've released a really great movie in Spider-Man. So, you know, that really brought people out. But they're not shooting them out like they were before. And it's really kind of annoying. I'm ready.
I think people really love Tom Holland, man. I think that it's already pushing for Avatar numbers. And
probably hit it this weekend.
Yeah.
If it hasn't passed it.
Yeah. And then it's expecting
rewatchable.
Yeah, and they're expecting Uncharted to be really good and really big because of this, you know.
But isn't it already out, Uncharted?
No, it's not out yet.
Oh, when does it come out?
Soon.
Definitely want to go see that. That's what we beat, right? Uncharted 3 or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was it Uncharted 3 or 4?
I don't know.
There's going to be 3 live-action Batman on the big screen this year.
What? How's that?
Yeah. What?
You've got the one that's coming out in March, The Batman, and then you've got Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton are both going to be in The Flash.
Oh, you're right. Flashpoint.
That's in November.
Very cool. Very cool. Is there a way to get him on TV as well? Another Batman on TV? You know, I love, you know, this is
Batgirl's going to be on HBO, right?
Yeah.
With Brendan Fraser and.
Oh, yeah. I saw a little bit of that or that they're filming it.
Mm-hmm. I love
and then Aquaman sequels coming out.
Yeah. But I love how because of how well this movie's done, like now all these actors who played superheroes in the past are all like, oh, yeah, I do it. By the way, I do it. They're all coming out of the woodworks, getting their spandex suits out.
The big rumor now is going to be Tom Cruise is going to get a chance to be Iron Man for a second.
I heard
when are we going to see Top Gun? Where are we all
never supposed to? Or yeah. Dude, there's 2 fucking Mission Impossible movies that are done or being filmed.
I think they're post, right?
They're done. Yeah,
they filmed them back to back.
Yes, and those aren't out.
When are we going to see the Top Gun? We were supposed to see Top Gun in 2020, and it's 2022. It's
supposed to be May now.
Yeah,
May.
Who knows?
Yeah, the end of May.
It's fucking ridiculous, bro. It's fucking ridiculous.
Well,
just how I had to wait for Transylvania 4.
It's tough, man. There's a pandemic going on, man. Like, and
Hotel Transylvania 4.
Matrix just sued I don't know if you saw that.
That was a terrible movie, though.
They sued because of Warner Brothers put it straight to they did the simulcast to theaters and to HBO.
Oh, it's so weird that they had a year to, like, they announced it over a year ago. Yeah. Like, we're going to put this on HBO same day.
Yeah.
And then they don't sue until actually.
Yeah, until after it comes out.
So yeah, I guess they can't until they.
But I mean, the Scarlett Johansson thing kind of set that up for them.
Yeah. Well, look at, I mean, the Tenet guy, what's his name? His new deal is outrageous because of streaming.
Yeah.
And what happened with Tenet. So,
yeah. Troy, and Dean, I guess all of us, really. Have you started watching the new Jack Reacher yet?
I did.
No, I need to watch that. What is that on?
Amazon.
I need to check that out. There's going to be a lot of killing and a whole bunch of ass whooping. I love Jack Reacher.
Hell yeah, Jack Reacher. I love the movie version with Tom Cruise even.
This is
more accurate
to the book.
More accurate to the book, and I love that dude. He's from Blue Valley State.
And
Titans. Yep, Titans as well.
He actually got killed off on Titans because he got this deal. They killed his character off and then put him in the afterworld so he can return if he wants. He's like stuck in limbo. He's guarding souls between heaven or between death and their final destination.
Crazy.
What is Titans? DC Titans?
Yeah, it's on HBO. It was on DC Universe.
Until they stop that dumb shit.
They still have it. It's just comics.
How cool is it that John Cena just rocked the DC movies, if you will?
I still haven't watched The Peacemaker. He's on HBO too, right?
He's basically The Rock for DC. He's revitalizing
The Rock's going to be in the DC universe this summer too.
Damn, you're right.
Yeah, with Black Adam.
They're both. Oh man. We'll see them battle each other in something. Peacemaker's
getting Suicide Squad's getting another spinoff, but they haven't said what character.
Polka Dot Man.
Like a prequel?
I don't know. Everybody liked that dude.
Well, I was listening to a James
Gunn. It's the Rat Girl, I think, actually. I do remember. I think it's the Rat Girl.
And they wanted to talk about Peacemaker because he had no backstory or story arc. Character growth in Suicide Squad, so that's why he went up first. And then John Cena started coming up with
really good ideas when they were filming together.
Yeah, and James Gunn also says that John Cena's his favorite collaborator as far as actors go. And Chris Pratt and John Cena's, and that he can be as direct as he wants with John Cena. John Cena doesn't care. He'll just take the direction and go with it. Well, he'll say, pull it back. Go forward, change this, and John Cena will just do it.
Because of wrestling, pro wrestling, that's why. Because of who his boss was, you know?
But he's funny, man.
He is funny. He's really, Judd Apatow said the same thing about him. You know, because he's really good at improv when he was doing the stuff for the Amy Schumer movie.
Yeah, this is the deleted scene off last week's Peacemaker where he goes through the list and the rant. You see that?
Oh yeah, when good. Oh my god! He
drops Ariana Grande. I couldn't do on Ariana Grande. She's too innocent looking. Right.
Where do you see deleted scenes? Do they have them?
No, they have them at the end of every episode. They have like an extended
cut scene or extended scene. Or,
yeah, really funny.
We'll have something.
What was he saying?
Like, how many
the
duck inside of a human
suit? What was it? A duck inside of a human suit wouldn't even make sense. Like how is like the
bones stretch out?
The bone structure.
Where's the beat go?
But yeah, and then like the cutscene of him playing piano, like I knew he could play piano from the watching the Divas and seeing a little bit of the behind the scenes stuff from that, and like he always played piano on that show.
The way they shot it though, with the hands playing, there's no replication of those.
No, yeah, he definitely played hands. But that was the cool thing though, in the behind the scenes scene, he's playing Queen. Yeah, oh, so cool, so awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah, but it's so interesting him seeing him play this type of character. knowing how uptight he is in his personal life.
And the fact that the other thing that I love about the show is that the guy that plays Vigilante.
Yeah. Who is that guy?
He's not the original actor. They finished and changed with two episodes left to shoot. They changed who Vigilante was and went and redid reshoots for everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they were playing it too on the nose or a guy too hardcore, I guess.
The actor that was originally cast wanted to go a different direction and the way that James Gunn said is, I don't think he was interested in doing anything further on if the series continued. Which I think is pretty cool because the Vigilante character is my favorite thing about the Peacemaker series.
So funny. Hilarious.
The jail scene? Ah.
So, okay, perfect. If you were going to go start a show tonight after the show, would you do The Righteous Gemstones or Peacemaker?
Peacemaker. Knowing you and knowing that your favorite Marvel character is Deadpool, you should watch Peacemaker.
Yeah. If you want to binge something, I would start with Gemstones just because more episodes of it.
Mm-hmm. How many episodes are Peacemaker?
Seven.
Six okay,
eight now, that's, I think, maybe actually.
That's enough for me to binge a little bit tonight.
Yeah, man, this is fun.
How long are the episodes? 30 minutes or an hour?
Like 45 or something. Around 40, which is like 52 maybe?
Something like that.
That would be if it was actually made for television. I can tell you right now. Give me a second.
Yeah. We'll give you a second, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, I started the second episode of Somebody Somewhere.
Okay.
And it's the Duplass brothers.
I do like them. I do love their stuff. Always, it's so good and understated and weird. That's why I like Creep so much, because it's so different from all their other work.
There's a fucking here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
I want Barry to come back.
Yeah.
Okay. So, did we do TV sucks other than this?
No.
Well, okay. You didn't tell us how long the episode was.
Yeah,
no, you're fine.
Pulling it up. I just thought I would talk while I was doing that.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So Somebody Somewhere, I watched the second episode. It's and started the third. It's pretty good still. I like it. And then there's a show called Pennyworth was on Cinemark.
And this is him as a young man in the military?
It's Alfred. It's a prequel. It's an Alfred prequel.
Yeah.
World War II is over. He was a cook in the in the military for the British.
Yeah.
And he was actually a secret commando unit.
Steven Seagal kind of cook.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And he starts a security company. He meets Thomas Wayne in this weird chance encounter in the very first episode. But then it's kind of after the first episode, it's kind of just fighting British patriarchal nationalist kind of people.
Yeah.
The first episode was very good. And it's definitely the Michael Caine Alfred.
Nice. That he's going for.
Yeah. Just on voice alone, which is my favorite Alfred.
Really? You know who's an Alfred that I actually really enjoyed was Gotham's.
Yes, but it's
like that, but even a little younger.
Maybe that storyline.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like, because they did an episode where a guy that came back from his past they worked together. He talked a little bit about what he did, and I'm like, oh hell yeah! And you saw him in some of his fights and stuff.
They're about 45 minutes.
That's cool.
And there's six episodes out right now.
Yeah, I like stuff like that. Like Ripper Street. Ripper Street was dope. I like that a lot.
Eight episodes total. That's how long, how many episodes Peacemaker will have. Eight.
Yeah.
Ripper Street. Yeah. It's it's not as old as Ripper Street.
The guy from that is in what now? He's like in something. He's in something new now. What is it? Oh yeah. He's Ripper in Secession. Street. He's in Secession. He plays the husband of what's her name?
Oh, Matt McFadden. Yeah.
Yeah.
Palm.
Yeah, he's in Ripper Street.
Yeah, and the guy from Copper is in that the Bruce Lee.
Oh yeah.
Show that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. What's that one called? Oh, so good.
Yeah, it is good. Really good. What else? So TV sucks. Is there anything else you're watching? Because I've been looking for new shows to watch.
Hold on. I got Pennyworth was one. Mm-hmm. And then last week I talked, or week before last, talked about rewatching
After Party, bro.
Last Man on Earth.
I started watching After Party.
Yeah, that's on Apple.
Yeah, that's so funny.
So that's good, huh?
It's good. I enjoy it. Kind of, it's like, reminds me a little bit of the Unscripted show, but it's scripted. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's like they took a bunch of really funny comedic actors and they put them in a room, gave them like a light premise of a story.
I
and
love just, like go those with guys it. Too.
Yeah, like that one dude that did the improv Netflix show. He's one of them.
And he played
John Ralphio.
John Ralphio.
Yeah, John Ralphio. Yeah. He's great in it. And the guy that's in I Think You Should Leave is in it. He's really good too.
Dude, he was on Veep. And I watched someone did a supercut and cut together all of his scenes on Veep, right?
Yeah.
From the beginning when he was like an assistant
to
somebody to, in the last episode, he's the president of the United States.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And it was a YouTube video, just a supercut of his scenes.
Yeah.
And it was an hour and 20 minutes or something.
Oh, shit. I used to love watching stuff like that. Like I like to watch, I think it was when I was like really depressed though. So it makes a lot of sense. But it's like, what is it called? It's like best acted scenes or something. It's on YouTube. You can find it. There's like volumes and volumes of
Sam Richardson.
And okay. And it's these like amazing performances from actors, like with this like serious, like intense music in the background. And it's like a scene after scene after scene after scene of intense, I mean, amazing performances from actors. So a lot of them are emotional. Like a lot of them are serious. I would watch this for I don't know. Cause they're like 30. They're like, some of them are long. Some of them are like 30 minutes. Some are 15 minutes. Some of them are 20 minutes. Some of them are 45 minutes.
I like,
you know what I mean? Yeah. It would like, I would go to sleep to it. Kind of, I just love acting that much though. So to me, I didn't find it, but I showed my sister, told my sister about it. I played a video for her and she went a minute because the intensity.
I started a couple of books this week. And the one that I wanted to talk about is, a book by, let me put up here, Bob Odenkirk. It's called A Load of Hooey, and it's just a types. On the audiobook, he has basically everybody from Mr. Show reads a different chapter.
Yeah.
But it's really good.
I think they're working together again, right? They're producing something or working
together.
They
did something for Netflix, the Bob and David show.
Recently?
That was like a couple years ago.
Okay. I think they're doing something new. I don't know. Show. Yeah. Something's coming out. I think they're working on something.
And then Station 11 on HBO. I started that.
Station 11.
It's an American post-apocalyptic dystopian fiction miniseries. And, you know, it's basically a pandemic. They started filming. The pandemic happened. They shut down. Then finally were able to finish. And, then thought about delaying the release of it, but it's
okay.
I think I've seen interesting, and you know, we talked about how hard it is to get a good rating. So, Station 11, I just started it, but it's got a 7.7 on IMDb and a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Damn,
it's got the guy from the Beatles movie where everybody forgets about the Beatles.
Okay, oh, yeah,
yeah,
love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley told me that Servants is really good. I haven't seen any of that though.
And Servants.
Yeah, it's creepy. It's M. Night Shyamalan and this woman, I guess, loses a baby during pregnancy, and she has this like doll baby that she keeps, and then this person comes to be its nanny, and it's a doll, and that's like how it starts out, but then it goes like off the deep end from there.
Tony Revolori, who plays Flash Thompson in the new Spider-Mans, and Rupert Grint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Lauren Ambrose. So yep. Rupert Grint's done some stuff that I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
just, you know, on the Ginger Network.
For sure, and, for sure.
I don't know if I would watch that. I've been watching.
No, it's really dark.
Other thing, Miracle Workers season 3 is now available on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Daniel Radcliffe and Steve Buscemi are both the executive producer of that.
Oh, is that the Western thing?
They're Western now. Last season, they were Middle Ages, Dark Ages. And the season before that, they were actual miracle workers in heaven, and Steve Buscemi played God.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, each season is different, and it is very funny.
Oh, I got to check that out then. I didn't realize that was a premise or how that's how it went down.
Yeah. It's very, very funny. The Western Oregon Trail, just the opening credits makes me laugh and giggle every single time.
Nice.
Because they open it up like an old 1960s Western.
Hell yeah.
With like freeze frames and animation cutaway windows and stuff.
Love that.
John Bass is really funny in it. And Steve Buscemi's character. Oh my God. But it's got Karen Soney, who's been in a bunch of stuff, but he's very funny. He's like a...
Clothes make the man. Every time I think about Steve Buscemi and how people these days like are like, he's like weirdly attractive, it's because of the clothes. Same thing with Willem Dafoe. It's clothes.
Willem Dafoe was, I thought, very good looking when he was younger.
When he was younger, yeah. Clothes make the man, though, man. Clothes make the man. Clothes make the man. Troy. I don't know if you're there, but I'm going to make you look really attractive. But
yeah, the Oregon Trail, this latest season is so funny. Steve Buscemi plays an outlaw.
Nice.
And Benny the teen.
And he's posing as a priest?
No, Daniel Radcliffe is the priest.
Oh, and he's just leading the group to Oregon because the group leader got killed. That's right. Something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, it starts off the town's experiencing a pandemic. He's trying to get everybody to be 6 feet away at the funeral.
Nice.
And then they just start having double funerals because people just keep dropping.
Did you like that Seth MacFarlane Western comedy?
I never watched the whole thing.
No. Something Ways to Die or something. Thousand Ways to Die.
Oh, yeah. I watched it. It was
I never watched the TED 2 either. I think I only saw clips of that. My favorite part of TED is the improv when they're at the improv comedy show.
So
and they're throwing up
OJ Simpson.
Nobody said Starbucks. 9/11.
All right, y'all.
That's TED, right?
That is TED 2. Final thoughts on this fabulous Valentine's Day week. No, nothing.
There's no way. I mean, Valentine's
Day. ELE, bro.
I hope everyone had a good Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Or is Valentine's Day coming up?
No, it was we're recording this on a Monday.
Yeah.
So
Valentine's is today.
But it comes out on a Wednesday.
Yeah. So I hope everyone had a good Valentine's
Day. I hope everyone had a good Valentine's Day.
And if you haven't celebrated Valentine's Day yet, I hope you have a great Valentine's.
Maybe we'll do this. We'll do a special Valentine's Day special episode that comes out on a Monday on Valentine's Day.
And I think that it's important. The older you get and you get busy with kids and scheduling stuff, like the actual day of Valentine's should not have as much importance as the time together to celebrate each other.
This episode should come out on Monday.
That's true. But don't sleep on that day, though. It doesn't mean everything, but it means something. Just saying, don't sleep on that day.
On the Valentine's
Even
day?
If it's a small
don't be
gesture.
A dick about it.
Even
don't
if it's a small gesture. Do something, a small gesture is appreciated.
I mean, I got all my Valentine's gifts like a month ago, so
yeah.
I'm prepared.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
It isn't everything. It is just a day.
It's not everything, but it's...
It's a day to just say, hey, you know, just as a reminder. I know I tell you every day, but here's another day to say
something extra nice.
I love you. You're great. Enjoy your day.
It's an excuse to be extra nice to the people that you love.
Exactly. ELE. Vá con Dios.
Vá con Dios, motherfuckers.
Yeah, everyone love everyone. It's Jackie Moon. You don't know ELE? Jackie Moon. Everybody love everybody. Everybody love everybody.
Okay, well, just say that. I don't know why you've turned everything into an acronym.
He says ELE. It's from the fucking movie. Read a comic book.
Jackie Moon.
He's so fucking cool. Dean is so cool all the time.
Who's Jackie Moon?
Jackie Moon? You don't know who Jackie Moon is?
You said read a comic book.
Yeah, no. Jackie Moon is Will Ferrell from
Semi-Pro.
Yeah, Semi-Pro, yeah. All right. Hopefully, I accidentally had you pin on you, but I have it in gallery view, so hopefully the whole thing isn't recorded just on your face, but that I would love that, actually. It's just your face. Yes, yeah, just your face the whole episode.
My face or
no, Dean's. So
you know who I really
so we get
like
to see your reactions. So we get to zoom in on your reactions to everything we say.
Dick Pepperfield. Andy Daly's character.
Yes, Andy he's Daly. So funny.
That's one of the best podcasts.
Oh really? Yeah, check it out.
You gotta pick it off. Hey,
sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
Hi, this is Randy with Big Salinas Barbecue. Just wanted to tell you we now have our award-winning barbecue sauce for sale. We have been cooking up delicious barbecue and sauce since 2014. You can now purchase a bottle at BigSalinasBarbecue.com or visit Chard 380, Joe's Meat Market, Outdoor Grill Sales, Mushak's Meat Market, or the barbecue store to pick up a bottle today. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Big Salinas Barbecue.
Hey, it's me again. You know what I love? Pop culture and nonsense. It's so fun. I found a podcast that has pop culture and nonsense. And the podcast is so fun. I love it. And I think you will too, if you like those two things that I have previously mentioned. Pop culture and nonsense. The podcast is called Good Vibes, and it comes out every Wednesday. I think you will enjoy it most assuredly. It's on the Good Podcast Network, if you know what I'm saying.
Every Wednesday, wherever you get your favorite podcast.